Try to imagine living in a place where all of your neighbors want to kill you and regularly try to do so.
This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hi folks, Chuck Holton here. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone, especially our new subscribers. We're getting quite a few of those. Look, there's a lot going on in the world right now with coronavirus and things like that. But today I want to talk about Israel, because Israel is a hot mess, as usual. And it's simply because you've got Hamas to the south, Hezbollah to the north, the Syrians on the east, and everybody wants to kill the Israelis. All of those people, though, are being driven pretty much by Iran. Let's talk about that. Well, we saw the Palestinians in Gaza fire dozens of rockets yesterday into Israel, and Israel responded in kind. Now, you back up a little bit and figure out why exactly did they fire rockets this time? And that's really kind of a silly question, because they don't need a reason. They fire rockets just every day, really. I mean, it would be rare for a day to go by where there's not at least one rocket fired out of Gaza. And we've talked about this before. I've been down there a couple times. Imagine this. Israel supplies electricity for Gaza. They supply water. They supply medicines. Pretty much everything that Gaza doesn't get from Egypt comes from Israel. And Israel could theoretically shut all that stuff off anytime they wanted to. But Gaza is already enough of a mess. There's like 8 million people in there, and it is an absolute disaster. But they don't stop. They don't learn. They don't stop shooting at Israel. And what happened was, over the weekend, a couple of terrorists from Gaza came up to the border fence with some explosives and tried to blow up the border fence. The Israelis shot warning shots at them. They didn't go away, so they shot both of them, killed one of the guys. Now, in this video, you see the Palestinians trying to retrieve their two terrorists that are shot there. And they were only able to retrieve one of them, the one that was wounded, and they got him out of the way. But the one that died, the Israelis chased those guys off, and they went out there with a bulldozer to retrieve the body of this terrorist. Now, why did they go with a bulldozer? Because A, the guy had explosives on him. They saw that. B, every time they go on that side of the fence, they get shot at, they get rocks thrown at them, bottles, you name it. So just, that's the safest way to do it. The guy's already dead. The Israelis went out there. They picked up his body with a bulldozer. It's sort of graphic footage you can see here. But in reality, that's what they had to do. Fortunately for Israel, they don't suffer under this thing called political correctness. They said, look, you try to kill us, we're going to kill you back. And we're going to kill you first. And we're not going to feel sorry for you when you get mad at us for killing you when you're trying to blow us up. That's how Israel sort of approaches this. But that video of the bulldozer carrying the dead terrorist away went viral on the internet, and the Palestinians got even angrier than they normally are and started again shooting rockets. So Israel overnight bombed Gaza, but they also bombed Damascus. Now, why would they do that? Well, first of all, Islamic Jihad claimed responsibility for this attempted bombing of the border fence in Gaza. And Islamic Jihad also has guys in Damascus. They killed, apparently, some Islamic Jihad guys up there. However, that's not the real reason. The real reason is that Iran keeps trying to establish a foothold in Syria. They are trying to build bases there. They're bringing in weapons, and they're bringing them in on civilian airliners into Damascus Airport. And so Israel has very, very good intelligence. And when they get intelligence that Syria is being invaded again by Iran, they go in and they bomb the Iranians. They have so far in the last, I don't know, couple of months, killed about 30 Iranian troops in Quneitra. Now, if you don't know your map over there, I don't blame you. Quneitra is a very small town, but it's right on the border with Israel. Actually, if you go to the Golan Heights, you can look down into Syria from the Golan Heights. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. And when you look down into Syria from the Golan Heights, guess what you're looking into? Quneitra. So Israel has killed like 30 Iranian troops in Quneitra. What do you think they're doing there? Well, they're building tunnels. They're building terror tunnels. Israel has found terror tunnels dug into its territory now from Syria, from Lebanon, and from Gaza on a regular basis. And Israel's technology keeps getting better at detecting these tunnels, at finding them. And when they do find them, they blow them up. Well, some of these tunnels, I just read that Israel has taken out more than 70 terror tunnels in the last couple of years, coming across from Lebanon, from the north, into their territory. Some of those tunnels were over 200 feet deep, 22 stories deep. I mean, this is not amateur hour tunnels, okay? These are serious tunnels being dug. And who do you think's paying for that? Do you think Lebanon's paying for it? Remember, Lebanon has a lot of Christians, and it's governed by a Muslim and a Maronite Christian together, okay? So, look, Lebanon is not paying for the terror tunnels. It's Iran. Guess who's paying for the terror tunnels coming across from Gaza? Iran. Guess who's paying for the terror tunnels coming across from Syria? Iran. Guess who's digging terror tunnels, other tunnels, from Iran into Iraq and across into Syria? Iran. And why are they doing that? Well, they keep trying to bring weapons and supplies and stuff into Syria to establish a foothold there. Every time they do, Israel blows them up. They've had more than 200 raids into Syria over the last couple of years. 200. They've blown up Iranians time and time and time again. So the new defense minister in Israel is a guy named Naftali Bennett. And he recently gave a speech where he kind of outlined how they're going to pivot Israel's military policy, their foreign policy with their military, towards Iran.
Over the past 30 years, I'd say that about two-thirds, 70% of our problems stem from one source. What looks like tactical problems have one source, and that source is Iran. I'm not talking about the nuclear path. I'm talking about Lebanon, Gaza, Hamas, Hezbollah. Here's how it works. You've got an octopus whose head is in Iran, and it sends its arms to sort of envelope us in Lebanon, in Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Gaza. And I want to explain what that means. Hezbollah is, for all intents and purposes, is Iran. Hezbollah was funded and is funded roughly $1 billion a year by Iran. It's trained by Iran. It's equipped by Iran. Its methodology is Iranian, and it acts on Iran's command. So effectively, the Iranian mullahs are 1,100 kilometers to the east, and they send this long arm to hit us, to shoot rockets on us. Same Hamas, not to the same degree, but a great deal of Hamas gets armed by Iran, funded by Iran, trained by Iran. They send people to seminars and to workshops to learn how to use a certain rocket, explosives, and then they come back into Gaza. And what's happened for the past 30 years is Israel has responded tactically to the fingertips of this octopus. We've sent soldiers to fight. I fought in the 90s in many operations in the Second Lebanon War. I'm sure I'm not the only one in this room. We went out and fought the fingertips of this octopus. And our boys died fighting the fingertips of this octopus. Yet, back in Iran, the guys who are doing all of this, they're immune. They're 1,100 kilometers from here. No one's touching them. Same in Gaza. We send our soldiers to Sajaya, to Khan Yunis, to Gaza. Same. Our boys fall. The gist of the change that we're implementing right now, these very weeks, is the following: shifting our national security resources where to? Iran. We're embarking on an ongoing campaign. It's not a one-off hit, but our campaign is to get hold that octopus head and weaken it and strangle it so less oxygen flows to the arms. If we can avoid direct confrontation, if we can prevent the third Lebanon war, that's way better. I do not want to send our boys into Lebanon if possible. We might have to, but as last resort. Same in Gaza. If we can weaken Gaza by focusing the ongoing campaign, which I'll explain in a moment, but weakening that octopus and stopping the flow of blood, of oxygen, maybe we can skip the next Gaza campaign. That's what we're doing.
So when you take all this into account, what's going on in Iran? Not only do they have to deal with the Gazans repeatedly, constantly attacking their border fence, sending flaming balloons across to light crops on fire inside Israel. Not only do they have to deal with rockets coming from Syria and rockets coming from Hezbollah and terror tunnels, they have to deal with stabbings on an almost daily basis inside Jerusalem. They just had another one over the weekend where a Palestinian guy with a knife, you see him here, he's charging in and trying to kill people. They shot him dead. And they are constantly under attack. So you can't blame them for fighting back, because if they didn't, they wouldn't exist. That's all there is to it. But now think about this. How does this affect the United States? Well, we have one party who is constantly supporting the efforts to destroy Israel. They're supporting the United Nations when they condemn Israel for fighting back against the terrorists. They support the BDS movement. That's a boycott, divest, and sanctions movement. Now, I made a short piece about that with Colonel Oliver North the last time I was in Israel.
This is the historic King David Hotel in the heart of Jerusalem. What you're about to see inside is a program that's going to change things for the good, hopefully for Israel and the USA. Here's what's happened. There's a program begun by the far left in Europe called BDS. It stands for boycott, divest, and sanction. It's all an economic attack on Israel, trying to force them to make accommodations that wouldn't be good for Israel or the United States. But the governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, is about to sign a document opening a trade agreement between Israel and the state of Maryland. It could set the example for the rest of the U.S. and maybe even in Europe.
The goal of our trade mission has been to strengthen the ties between Maryland and Israeli officials and business leaders. We are committed to creating a culture in our state where all businesses can grow and thrive. And in this increasingly competitive economy, where companies can and do locate virtually anywhere, we are looking beyond our borders for more opportunities.
Give us a sense for what businesses you see as prospering from this, both here and home.
Well, we already have 24 Israeli companies headquartered in Maryland, and we signed deals with about four or five more since we've been here, mostly in the cyber security and defense industries, but also in
biotech, biohealth kinds of things, where Maryland is strong, and so are they strong here in Israel.
A sense that you may be setting an example for other governors in the United States.
Well, I don't know. I'm not really trying to set an example for anybody. We're just doing what we think is the right thing to do. This has been a tremendous week for us, business-wise, but also culturally, just getting to know some really good friends here in Israel.
Think about this. Bernie Sanders, supported by Linda Sarsour, by Ilhan Omar, by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, all these people are very, very big in the boycott, divest, and sanctions movement. So the Bible is pretty clear that God blesses those who bless Israel and curses those who curse Israel. And the BDS movement is all about cursing Israel. So just keep that in mind as you watch the campaign play out in the United States. Okay, that's all we've got for the podcast today. Thanks for watching. I appreciate you being here.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.